The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Order in the court. Be seated.
It's time for Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt. Todd Marquardt, attorney at law in Texas. If you're a millionaire or a thousandaire, Talk Law Radio is now on the air. Call in with your business law question, your elder law question, veteran aid, Medicaid, build a business to get paid. 210-308-8867. Or ask a question online at marquardtlawfirm.com. That's M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T, lawfirm.com. And now, it's Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt.
Welcome to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt. On the radio, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on talklawradio.com. I'm here to help you discover your legal issue blind spots by listening to me and them talk about the law on the radio. And today we're going to be talking about immigration law and the difference between federal law and state law and what preemption means and how the Texas Senate Bill 4 is tied up in the courts right now. That's what amended Chapter 51 of the Texas Penal Code, right? Yeah. But it's not being enforced right now because of some court cases. And I have some experts with me that are going to help us understand what preemption means for state law and federal law. And so I like to talk about these issues because, of course, it's relevant right now. We have a big problem on the border with too many people coming in and trying to figure out if they're going to qualify for asylum or not. So I'd like to introduce everybody first, my friend Shannon Salomon Haas, who has been on the show before. You might remember her from March 27th, 2021. We talked about asylum then.
Oh, yeah, we did. I want to clarify the word you used, expert, though, because the state bar actually has a specific definition for that, and I'm not board certified in immigration, so I am an immigration attorney in town, and I consider myself good in that subject. I also make really good enchiladas, but I'm not an expert on. I can't say that. I'm an expert.
Right. Okay. And Alicia, will you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Alicia Bettis, and I also have practiced immigration law for probably, you could say, about 15 years. I recently left the district attorney's office to return to criminal defense and immigration defense.
Okay, great. There's a need for more immigration attorneys, I would imagine.
Good ones, yeah, honest ones like Alicia.
I saw somebody post on Facebook in one of the attorney groups that said they need immigration attorneys in Eagle Pass and somewhere else, and that they were offering a bonus to go down there. And my wife, Chris, said that it wasn't enough for us to move. Okay, well, let's get into the issues. Being with the district attorney's office, y'all are probably familiar with the Texas law that was passed in this last session. It was Senate Bill 4, which amended the Chapter 51 of the Texas Penal Code. Y'all familiar with that?
Yes.
And so what kind of information or training or talking points did you learn while you were still there at the district attorney's office about that change?
I think I can speak to this a little more. As before, we didn't expect it to be enacted on time. We expected this legal challenge. But as you know, I can't speak for the district attorney's office I've left, but I do know that they do want to honor their obligation to fulfill the law of Texas. And so they are going to make all efforts to fulfill their role to carry out the laws of Texas. That's what I know about them.
Yeah.
It is a confusing law, stepping back and definitely not talking from their perspective. It's a confusing law. There already is a federal law about reentry. It's already a federal crime. The federal government has the processes in place to deal with people who've done that. So it's unclear why Texas needs its own. But this bill is set up so that every stage of someone getting apprehended, and if they don't have documents to show they entered legally, that they either will be forced to take a de facto removal order at the magistrate's court, that's when they've just been arrested, or if they have to stay in jail and then face the regular court. And at that point, the only options are take a de facto removal order, or unless they're totally not guilty, and then they can get out. And at every stage in this process, the judges don't have any discretion. The district attorney doesn't have discretion. They have to either get rid of people, or if they're completely not guilty, then
that's your understanding of this new state law.
It's constructed in such a way that there's limited options, and it's either take a removal order or you're completely not guilty. So there's not a lot of wiggle room in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't provide for the protections that we have under a federal law.
The federal immigration laws. So let me just explain for the audience that the law was passed back in November 2023, but it didn't become effective until March 5th or 6th. And that's when all these court cases happened to stop that law from being enforced. And it's not even the first time the state has tried to do this, right? The most recent Supreme Court case was the Arizona case.
Right.
Arizona versus U.S. probably. And they had a cute little nickname for that law that was subject to that court case, show me your papers law.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah.
And that's what made it a little bit different than this Texas law is in Arizona, they had this requirement that the law enforcement, police and sheriff would actually ask people for their documentation. I didn't read that in the Texas law.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But there's so many similarities as well also.
Right. And so part of the process of asking for a law to not be enforced, an injunction, part of the court's analysis in deciding whether or not to grant an injunction is the likelihood of success on the merits, right? And so I think that's part of what the courts were able to hang their hat on in, at the district court level in granting the injunction was we've already seen a case like this before in Arizona, and you're probably not going to be able to enforce that law.
Right, right. Well, it goes back even farther than that because the very foundation of our whole entire immigration system in this country goes all the way back to 1800. We mm-hmm. had some cases. It's going to sound terribly racist, but they were actually called the Chinese exclusion laws because some politician or somebody decided, hey, we got too many Chinese people. We need to, you know, what's going on? We're being invaded. We're being mm-hmm. overrun, you know. And so that was our very first immigration law was the Chinese Exclusion Act.
Wow.
And it's long established, you know, ever since then, every court case has always backed up the plenary power of the federal government. So the federal government is uniquely and complete, you know, plenary power. It is completely in charge of protecting our borders. And we need that to be, you know, to have cohesion, to have to be the United States of America.
Right.
We're not a you know, there's not Tennessee doesn't get to operate its own immigration system or print its own currency.
Right.
So my problem with this, you know, particular legislation, I agree with what Judge Ezra said, that it fundamentally changes who we are. I mean, who are we? Are we the United States? Do we have a federal government that has plenary power to protect our borders and, you know, do certain things that are specifically in the hands of the federal government? Or are we a loosely joined confederacy of states? You know,
hopefully we don't have to question our own existence.
I think this makes us do that.
Yeah.
And it's not, I understand people's frustration. I really do. So I'm really looking at both sides, but this is not the answer. And it actually makes us less safe.
Alicia, can you talk more about the federal reentry law and how that works and how that might solve the same problem that the state of Texas was trying to solve?
Well, underneath that question is the question of what problem was Texas trying to solve? Because if you're talking about making sure people are held accountable for entering illegally, that happens already.
Right.
And whether you're arrested and prosecuted in the federal court for it or not, it plays out in every single immigration proceeding. So if you're trying to apply for status through a family member or for a job, if you've entered illegally, you're not going to get a work visa.
Right.
You're going to have to go through a whole separate process to be able to come in, even through your U.S. citizen spouse. You may have to leave the country for 10 years.
Really?
Before you can ask to come back in. Our federal laws about having entered illegally are they're very bad. The laws IRA-IRA, we enacted in 1999. It was signed by Bill Clinton, but it was when the House and the Senate were Republican. But this law, if you've entered illegally and left and come back, you basically have no chance at ever having status in this country.
I've heard of that.
So it can't be worse than that. So this law doesn't add any punitive measures that are going to make it worse for people than it already is.
Right.
So in that effect, this law isn't actually going to do anything except for add more expense for taxpayers on their local system that's already overburdened trying to deal with DUIs and theft and everything that we need to deal with to make our city better.
Yeah.
So it's going to overburden a system that's already overburdened. But if Texas was trying to solve, we want to do more, like we can't have the militia on the border shooting people. So what can we do? Let's make it look legal. I mean, this is a way to, like, we're tough on you.
Right.
But it's not, there's a question as to whether, like, police departments are even going to ask the questions, bring the charges. It's a question of whether even this law will be useful. And as Shannon brought up earlier, we're using a lot of resources to fight about this law, which isn't going to provide more punitive measures. It's going to overburden our system that's already overburdened. And
exactly.
It's not going to provide more safety or prevention.
It makes it worse, so much worse. I don't like the obligation it places on local law enforcement. Because anytime you have an obligation, as you know as a lawyer, then you can have punitive consequences if you fail that obligation.
Right.
So, first of all, I'm a person of peace, and I just don't like Americans fighting Americans. So local government and state and federal always fighting, you know, look, if we have a problem, can't we talk about this? There has to be a way to work together and use all these resources to solve this problem instead of fighting each other. But on a local level, if I'm not mistaken, I think and Alicia will correct me because she's a lot smarter than me. But if I'm not mistaken, in 2017, I think there was a local case where there were 10 or 11 undocumented people that were found in the back of a trailer. And the local authorities were sued because they alleged that they called ICE. They called all the proper authorities and they said, look, come get these people. They never came. And so, yeah, locally they don't have the authority because they're not the federal government. So they had to release them. And then they were sued. And the city of San Antonio spent almost $6 million defending us against that lawsuit. $6 million. You know, that could have fixed the pothole on your street if you have one. You know, right. I mean, think of what else we could have done. So I don't like this. It does place too much power in the hands of a municipal judge. It does remove all those other avenues that people would have that you were talking about, valid claims of asylum. I mean, these are stories that would break your heart.
Well, even somebody who could become a resident because they're married to a U.S. citizen could be sent to the border under this law. And if you've come in, okay, so explain federal law a little bit. If you've come in without documentation, you still have a chance, if you do have U.S. citizen family, to become a U.S. citizen through them. But if you are sent back and you leave, cross the border back to Mexico or to your country, then that's when you're triggered for how you come back in again. So if you can't come back in illegally again, like I mentioned earlier, or you'll never adjust again. So this law this would be, if it were enacted, it would be take cruel laws and make them crueler.
Yeah.
Take American lives, take U.S. citizens' lives, and make them impossible. Not just the people that maybe you think don't belong here,
right,
but the people who love them and need them here.
Right.
Aren't going to be able to have them here anymore.
The immigration legal system is very detailed and complex and has evolved over 200 years.
I wanted to bring my book, but I didn't want to be late either, but it's this big, our current version.
Incredibly complicated.
Yeah. And so to push immigration type laws on a state judge that hasn't had
There's no way
of training and education, that might be a surprise to them as well.
It's a municipal judge, isn't it, also?
Well, no, it's going to be the county judges.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So some of these people have been lawyers for 10 or 12 years, and they've gotten the hang of criminal law, perhaps, but immigration law is a whole nother level. However, this law doesn't even reach that, so they don't need that because it's so simple.
Oh, okay.
It's like if you're here and you don't have permission to enter, you're out.
But that's where it would conflict with federal law, law says, I could get legal status this way, but you're telling me I have to leave.
So you have somebody who's worked on your property for years, and you know them, and you know their children are citizens, you love them. You wish you could get them a work visa, but you've been told you can't, probably because they entered illegally. That person, if they got picked up at the grocery store for doing nothing, if somebody just realized, or they got profiled, they would not have, under SB 4, they would have no options.
Mm-hmm.
The option would be leave. And the only relief you get from the criminal law is, like, if you leave, we won't put this misdemeanor charge on you. So just leave the whole country and leave your life behind, and you won't have a misdemeanor.
Do y'all remember hearing about that student that got deported?
Yes, there's been several cases like that.
And he grew up in the United States, and so he has to go to what he would determine to be a foreign country because he's never been there.
That's right.
His Spanish might be terrible.
Right. I wonder how he's doing.
Yeah. I've heard that we really, as you mentioned in 99, we really ramped up our immigration laws and they became incredibly punitive. It's my understanding there's whole communities that live along borders of people that are so American, they're just way too American to ever fit into another country again. But they were not born here. So they, you know, unfortunately fell into framework where they were forced to leave the country. And so they'll form a little community of their people, you know, that are in the same situation. But they're never going to – they're more American than you and I, so.
And it would be difficult for them to get legal status?
There are cases where it is impossible. In fact, that's why I say that good – honest immigration attorneys are so valuable, because it's probably 95% of people that come to me that I have to say, no, don't give your money to anybody. I don't care if they say they were a former ICE agent. I don't care what they tell you. I'm going to show you the law. There is literally no way for you to ever have. And, you know, so please save your money. Don't.
So this is another reason people are against SB 4 is because it creates a situation where people are afraid to come forward. We do have protections for crime victims or domestic people in domestic violence situations so that you can report your abuser or you can report a violent crime that was committed against you. But if you go forward and now you think you're going to get deported for having reported that, it just makes it wildly dangerous for people in difficult situations who are getting abused or getting abused by their employers. It's just, it creates a whole sub, like, it makes a bad situation. People are already getting abused and it's hard to report, but now it's even worse because it's not just that you'd rather put your physical life on the line than your whole get deported away from your children.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For example.
I know it feels like, I mean, I get both sides. I know it feels like, oh, we need to toughen up. We need stronger policies. But, you know, I'm a local and I've been in this town for a while and I've been practicing law. And it feels so good to say to that domestic violence victim, I understand you don't have documents, but there's this program called VAWA. We're going to make a police report. No, I can't. My husband's, you just have like, you're in San Antonio, Texas, and we can go avail ourselves of the court system. The law is going to protect you. There are laws in place. And then we do it. I mean, I've guided many people through that process.
So can you say what that is again? So if somebody's listening, they can know where to go.
VAWA, it's the Violence Against Women Act. Because the way our immigration laws are set up, a very good way to get a green card is if your husband petitions for you. But imagine that balance of power, how uneven that is. Unfortunately, we do get spouses that will say, well, you need me. You know, you have to do everything I say because your green card is in my hands, you know. So there has to be a counterbalance to that. And I get the other perspective. I get this drive that, oh, we're being overrun. We have to toughen up laws. But sometimes the answer, I mean, what's that thing called where it's not karate, but it's jiu-jitsu where you use the, you know, sometimes the answer is bending. It's being flexible. It's seeing the other side, seeing the whole picture. So I love the fighting spirit. I love people that fight. We have to defend America. We have to toughen everything up. But sometimes the reality is you have to look at the big picture.
Well, now
look
you have
everything.
Me worried about these women. Who can they call if they need help today?
Me and Alicia
right now?
And
well, they can call the police. They can always call the police. And that's what, if nothing else, regardless of SB4 goes in effect, I do want those people to know that I don't think law enforcement will ever, in that situation, actually put somebody into the misdemeanor proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want people to still be feel they can call in and be safe. Call in and report. But that's a whole nother show. I mean, reporting your abuser is incredibly difficult. And if your abuser is undocumented and they might get deported because of it, then you might never want to report them because you might need that person still to actually be there working and supporting you. And if they leave, then they'll never be there. It's very complicated.
Wow. And this is just one example. I mean, there's all the calls that I get,
well,
there's
Shannon,
nuances.
Why don't you tell us why you brought these books?
Oh, thank you. Okay, I brought this book because my very good friend Alicia recommended it. It's called Big Potential, and I trust her judgment. Do you want to tell about it?
Well, I mean, the way that this book relates to what we're talking about is Shawnee Gore is an expert on happiness, but transforming people's behavior. And it gets to the root of the psychology and science behind getting people to improve in our society is not punitive measures. And it's actually positive psychology and give people options to exercise their better angels and not be caught in a cycle. Like when you get arrested for theft and then you get a conviction and then you get out and you have no job options, guess what you're going to do next? And the answer to SB4 or an immigration is there's no simple solution. We have to think bigger. We have to fight the bigger fight. And
right,
it's a good thing that people do want to fight for our country, but we need to take that energy and the money away from these little battles and take it back to like real immigration reform.
Thank you.
And what can we do to make people respond better, behave better, and follow the science on what actually works? So I love Shawnee Gore because I took this to the DA's office. I take this everywhere I go. But people succeed when they feel that they fit in, when they feel they have motivation and purpose and reason. And a lot of our laws, and especially SB 4, shut down all those things, which make people less likely to behave and participate and be fulfilling members of our society.
Beautiful.
So that's why I love the psychology, positive psychology. And I brought this book and just lending it to
you. Thank you. I can't wait to read it.
Thank you for mentioning it. I'll have to read that
also.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to reading that.
We have to end the show soon.
Oh, no.
So I wanted to say thank you both
coming
and explaining to me. I don't know much about immigration law or criminal defense law. I just try and do the right thing.
No, that's great. I think everybody should focus on what they think is important, but focus in the right area. And SB 4 just is not the right area to get these goals done. It makes things worse.
It's not who we are.
We all need to put our heads together and work together across the aisle and get real immigration reform done.
Amen.
That makes us safer and stronger.
And beautiful. Alicia, if somebody's interested in contacting you, how should they reach you?
I will. They'll just have to Google me.
What's your last name again?
Bettis.
Okay.
I just... I'm taking a couple weeks off while I transition back into private practice.
So okay.
I don't have my stuff set up.
Shannon, do you want to tell people how to reach you?
My last name is Salmon, like the fish salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. I'm Shannon Salmon. So you could Google that. I'm at 210-734-8472. And if you call for Alicia, I promise to give you her number. And give a big 5-star review for Alicia, because she's
all
amazing.
Right.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank
you.
This is really fun.
That's it for Talk Law Radio. I'll talk to you later.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.